was that the Jews could not kill people or practice capital punishment if the penalty was death. And you'll see that plays out in the role of Jesus. When he dies, the Jews can't kill him. So they have to get permission from the Romans to do the killing, or take some Romans with them, whatever. The Jews couldn't pull that off. And the Romans insisted on that, as well as tribute. When you pay tribute, like your annual tax, that's like a tribute to a foreigner. It's not something the citizens have voted on. It's not constitutional. So the IRS is not a constitutional tax. You all know that. It's not something that we consented to or agreed to. It's something imposed upon you by a foreign tributary. In other words, those that to whom we owe the trillions of dollars of debt. And that was done deliberately by the rulers in dark places, coming at night under the table, so that you would not vote on that. Because you probably wouldn't vote on a, you know, half a percent tax or a 2% tax or a 5% tax, certainly not a 10%, 20, 30, or 40% tax. But nevertheless, that was imposed upon you through sleight of hand and treachery, and the people basically are ignorant of their rights, do not care about them, and so they let it go year after year. I always vote it down in my precinct every 2 years and eliminate the IRS, but it still hasn't happened, so apparently my precinct vote is not worth a lot. But I also eliminate the UN, and I eliminate the Federal Reserve, and I eliminate a lot of other egregious evils that oppress the people. But Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. First of all, he was a spiritual ruler. Second of all, he was a civil ruler. He cared about diet, cared about marriage, cared about all kinds of things that are civil today. Those are civil issues today. But in those days, the Jews insisted that they were not. They were under God, and they assumed authority. So Rome didn't bother with that. Okay, fine. You take care of it, but better do a good job on it, because we expect a certain form of Roman justice to prevail here. And so we'll do the killing. We'll leave everything else to you until you prove that you're not worthy of it. Well, today, as you realize, the government has taken over almost everything. And that's not because the government was greedy, which it is, for power, but it's because businessmen are greedy for money and want to use the government and don't want you to have the power, because then their special interests couldn't prevail. And because the churches basically became lazy, liberal, and lost their fear of God. The churches in our day do not have the fear of God. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm not without hope. I'm just stating an obvious fact, is that the churches, by and large, are no longer ruling in the fear of God. They don't care about biblical authority. They don't even care about natural authority. The only thing they care about is your personal opinion. Oh, what is everybody thinking today? Homosexuals okay? Okay, the Episcopal Church will agree with homosexuality. So that's the way things are decided, not on the Bible, not on nature, not on any real objective standard, but by a peculiar standard called self. Just, your opinion? Oh, well, that's your opinion. How many have that opinion? Oh, the majority has that opinion? Okay, we'll go that direction. But this is not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is never by majority opinion, and it's not on any opinion. God doesn't have any opinions. He declares with authority, this is the truth. An opinion has no authority. An opinion is just your own opinion and only has authority to yourself, which is no authority at all. Your own authority is no authority. The only authority we have is if we speak the words of God and act the acts of God, because all authority derives from heaven. So whether it's through nature or whether it's direct from revelation, it's always from heaven, or there is no authority. That's why you are living in a lawless society right now. You are living in absolute, utter, total lawlessness. Why? Because the only authority now is public opinion. That's why the media is the fifth realm of our government, or the fourth realm, or whatever, some other realm. You don't have just legislatures and executives and bureaucrats and so on and so forth. Now you have the media also influencing public opinion, which whoever influences public opinion, that's the only authority that's left. And that means majority. That means you as an individual have no power at all, no government at all, no law at all. Because now it's determined by every man's oh, that's just your opinion. Same in the church as in the state. Oh yeah, that's just your opinion. Well, that's just your opinion. How many are for that opinion? Oh, okay, I see the majority. All right, that'll be authority then. Oh, last week it was homosexuality, this week it's bestiality. Okay, we changed that. Now we're going to go this direction. So it's built on shifting sand and not on solid rock. Abraham was looking for a city with foundation. Now, for those of you who have lived a number of years in America, you might be sad about the fact that our country is no longer based upon a solid rock or a foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That might make you sad. I'm not sad. I don't mind. Let them do what they want to do. My God reigns. So I'm still on a rock. I don't really care what anyone else thinks. I don't have any opinions. I take the Word of God as my authority, so it's not an opinion. I'm right. They're wrong. So you see, I don't have an opinion. Well, it's just your opinion. That's not my opinion. That is heaven's declaration, you see? So I don't speak opinion talk. I'm not an opinion. Let me give you your opinion. Here's my opinion. I don't want to hear your private opinion or your public opinion. What's a public opinion? It's nothing. The Constitution was not set up to be an opinion machine. Well, whatever the people feel lately, what is their subjective judgment? Well, what do you think of that? What do you feel about that? How do you, want things to go? Who cares? God's rule is a rock. It's a city with a foundation under it. You now have a city without a foundation. In other words, your civilization has no base. You've lost everything. You don't know it because the forms are kept. You have the forms, but there's no power. You have the forms, but there's no reality. You have the forms. You have the appearance of government, but there is no government. And so everything is done in the back room, as I just said. You're not done. Nothing that you do counts. Only if you would throw a revolution with guns, or if you would have a revival spiritually. That's the only way you could change this nation. You can't get it back in any other way. So, you see, I have a good role. I have a good office. I have a good job. Not to speak my own opinion. Not even to stay within the limits of nature, which I do, but to speak directly the Word of God and declare it. Now, most people today, most sociologists, most people that study, they would say that, things are this and that and so on and so forth. But I don't care what they say. It's not the way anyone says it. It's the way God says it. So I just, for me, biblical authority is the only authority. Even though I acknowledge natural authority, I only acknowledge it if it agrees with biblical authority. So I have no fear of man. I don't fear man. I don't care about man. I don't care if they persecute me or kill me. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't bother me. And by the way, I always believe I win. I always believe I never lose. Even when I lose, I'm not losing. It just looks like I'm losing. So I'm always winning. I always have a good report. I'm always happy. I'm always optimistic. I'm never negative. Even if I say a negative thing, it's not negative at all. It's just a good report. I'm just, trying to wake you up because people are slumbering. Their eyes are closed. So all things are simple to me. There's nothing complicated. There's nothing, deep, dark, complex. I can cut through any complexity. I can go right to the bottom in one sentence. And I tell you, this is the word of the Lord. So any ruler that rules must rule in the fear of God, period, over out. That's the end of the matter. So a ruler is just a deacon, and a deacon's not even a pastor. A deacon's just an assistant. So what God is saying to the civil ruler is, oh, you're just my assistant. You just assist me in blessing the people. So if you don't do a good job of assisting, I'll boot you out. So that's God's view of rulers. Did you see what I just said? Now, a pastor is not a deacon. A pastor is not a deacon. He's a ruler. But a civil ruler is just a deacon. Because God's the ruler. God rules over the civil realm. You see? So a pastor is someone that rules by only saying what God says. The only thing I can say is what God says. If I say anything that God hasn't said, then it's arbitrary. It's worthless. It has no authority. It has no value. It has no impact. It has no effect. But if I say what God saith, then be afraid. And if you're not afraid, too bad. You're on your own then. So I don't speak to please people. You know that. I don't care about people. I don't care if I please people, if they hate me, if they like me, if they thank me. It really doesn't matter to me. I don't take their thanks for anything. I don't believe them. If somebody thanks me, that doesn't mean anything. That means they like that particular thing I just said. But then when I say the next word, you might not like that. So I don't believe in people thanking me. Oh, Pastor Jim, that was a wonderful thing you just said. It means nothing to me. It doesn't turn me at all. The only thing I want to do is say whatever God tells me to say. I don't care if people like it. I don't care if people thank me. I don't care if people appreciate it. I don't care. And if they hate me, if they misunderstand me, it means nothing. So I live for one. I don't know how many you live for, but I only have one rock, one foundation, one pearl, one value. See, I don't have my wife telling me what to do. I don't have my children telling me what to do. We don't have a dog. I don't have a church telling me what to do. I don't have the state telling me what to do. I really don't care what anyone says. Because the state is only the state if it's under God. And if it's under God, I'm not really doing what the state said. I'm doing what God said. The fact that it comes through the state doesn't mean anything to me. It's just whether it's from God. I'll only take authority when it's from God. I don't care who it's through. I don't care if it's direct or indirect. But I will not obey any authority except that which comes from God. I don't obey people. Never. Never. A child doesn't obey his parents. He obeys the office of parent. The office comes from God. The parent may be good or bad. How many know we have some bad parents? A bad parent is someone who doesn't do his office. It's not someone who abuses a child. It's someone who doesn't do the office, because the office would never abuse the child. A parent is someone that always takes care of and blesses the child. So if you don't bless the child, it isn't that you didn't bless him, it's that you didn't fulfill your office. So your sin against God comes way before your sin against the child. So God set up the office of individual, set up the office of family, set up the office of church, and set up the office of state. Only four offices. Those are the only four offices. There aren't any other offices. So those four is how the Lord rules the world. Well, this guy Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he did that because, as I told you, all real politics is done in the dark. All real politics, all real church politics is done in the dark, because we don't want people to be in on anything. Don't trust the people. Nobody's ever trusted the people. So Democrats are liars. They're demagogues. A demagogue is somebody who manipulates the majority in his own favor at their expense, and they don't know it. So if they give approval, they give consent, they don't object because they don't even know what's going on. You have no idea what's going on in this state, in this town, in your nation, or in the world. Whatever you see on television is all pulp. It's all something that was done for public consumption to persuade you. You're not hearing the truth. You're only hearing the truth they want you to hear, which is the truth perverted. You're not hearing the direct truth, the true truth. You don't even know who the good guys and bad guys are. By the way, we're always the good guys. So, everybody else is always the bad guys if they don't agree with us. But that is called relativism. That is relative to us. You know, we're always right, but every nation does that, so it must be okay. Well, it's not okay to God. There is right and there is wrong, and it's absolute, and it doesn't vary, and it never changes, and it has no evolution. So I never evolve. You say, well, Pastor, you're speaking so fast. I always speak fast because I have a lot to say. So since I have a lot to say, I'm going to say it. You know, so you just have to turn up your ears, you know, like, okay. Try to follow closely. Oh, by the way, you can get the tape and listen to it 100 times. Because what I say is power. Why? Because it comes from God. Everything I say is not from God. So you'll have to know. The only way you can know is if you knew God. How could you know if you didn't have the standard by which to judge? Now, I could say the Bible, but the Bible can be interpreted by many people many ways. It is. So that doesn't help to say the Bible. It does help because it's kind of a limit. Nevertheless, still, there is the human discretion that says, well, I think homosexuality is okay. Well, I don't think it is. You know, so you can argue all day long, but the Bible is crystal clear to me. I'm just a common sense person. I just read it and it says, you know, those are bad guys. Real simple to me. But today everybody's smart. Everybody's brilliant. Everybody has their own take on everything. Well, a woman really doesn't have to, you know, marry a man. She can marry a woman. A man really doesn't have, you know, well, I read it. It's real clear to me, just crystal clear. You're going to hell. You're out. That's crystal clear to me. I don't have any confusion on anything. So somebody said, well, you're in a minority today. I don't really care. I don't care if I'm all alone. I'll still win because it's God's idea and God will back me. I'm not afraid. And even if he doesn't back me, I don't care. It'll be backed by him later without me. I don't need to win. I don't want to win. I've already won. Do you understand? So I'm not trying to convince anybody. I just tell you the truth. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, it's your business. That's your decision. But sooner or later, the world will hear what I have to say. Why? Because it's what God has to say. And sooner or later, everyone will say what I say, or they'll be out of business. So I'm not really worried about present, size of church or, what people, how people assess and so on and so forth. Everything I say is not of God, but you'll have to decide what it is. Now here this rabbi comes to another rabbi. I mean, Nicodemus is a rabbi of sorts, and so he's a ruler. He's a ruler of the Jews, a big shot. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know, speaking for the group. I tell you, you have real authority when you speak for a group of people. Pastor, some of us, now you have no idea who that is. Well, who? Well, I'm not saying, but there's some of us. See, as though that had authority. Some of us feel this or think that or care about, so what? What's the word of the Lord? Who cares what some of us think? Some of us think you preach too long. Some of us think, you jangle the stuff in your pocket too much. It really doesn't make any difference to me. Some of us think we ought to have chairs instead of pews. Some of us think it's nothing to us. It's not a democracy. It's not a democracy. Neither is our republic, but it is now. It is now. They've turned it into a democracy, which is so they can manipulate you. But it's not a democracy. It's a republic of laws. It's under God. And I know all about all of that. So whatever all that is, I know about it. Now, God is saying through Jesus, he is speaking through his son. Jesus, by the way, never said anything except what the Father told him to say. He never did anything except what he saw the Father doing, and he never said anything except what he heard the Father saying. That was his authority. That's my authority. Insofar as I hear God, I'll say it. And insofar as I see God, I'll do it. So everything I say and everything I do is related to what he says and does. Whatever he does, I does. Whatever he says, I says. So as he is, so I am. As he is, he has existence. He is. So I am. I have existence insofar as I'm in him, of him, by him, through him. So I am definitely not of this world. Not only are my words not of this world, so is my life. I don't care about this world. This world does not hold anything for me. It's not interesting to me. It has no interest at all. None. Not my children, not my wife, not my church. Nothing has interest. God alone controls me. So I don't really care what people think. I don't control me. You can have my shirt, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. I'm wearing this shirt because it's God's shirt for me. So if you ask for it, I might give it to you, but you'll have to ask God first. And so will I. Do you understand? So you can't bribe me, you can't frighten me, you can't, scare me. Go ahead. It doesn't mean anything. I'm finished. I'm over with. When I met Jesus, it was over. I fell in love immediately with Jesus, and I've never changed my mind. I'm free, but I've not changed my mind. I still like him. I still think he's the truth. I still think he's my beloved. That's why I'm happy all the time. You don't ever see me downcast. So, why are you downcast? Oh, my soul, why are you depressed? Why are you down? Why are you sad? Why are you worried? Why are you afraid? Why are you listening to all those blogs? I don't really care what all the blogs say. My wife is always, every day, Peggy brings me 3 or 4 bad news things from the internet or something. Look at this, they're doing this, and they're doing that, and the UN is doing this, and President Bush is doing that, and Governor Perry's doing this. And Peggy, I don't want to read it. I already know everything. I don't want to know anything. I already know everything they're going to do and could do and should do. I don't really care. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Do you understand? I don't really need to understand the enemy. I understand him well. I used to be part of his team. I used to serve him. I know all about the enemy. So should you. So should you. There's no evil that's out there that I don't know about. There's no wickedness out there. There's no deception that's out there. There's nothing out there that's dark that I'm not part of by my original birth, my original nature. Do you all understand? So nobody surprises me. Their sin doesn't surprise me. Their wretchedness, their treachery, their shallowness, their boringness. It doesn't surprise me. I've been all those things. But now that I'm a lover, no, not those things anymore. I choose another. The way heaven looks at life, everything's okay. That's the way I look at life. Everything's okay. Even the bad people are okay. I pray for my enemies. I'm not trying to kill them. I'm trying to bless them. I'm not trying to kill them. I don't want them dead. They're good enemies, very good. They've done a very good job as an enemy. I thank God for my enemies. I don't mind that the enemies are out there. Why? They don't have any power. If I thought they had power, I'd join them. They don't have any power. Let them do what they want to do. It's nothing. Like a two-year-old fighting with his dad. You know, it's really not a serious bout. To him, it's fun. You know, come on, Dad, let's fight. You know, it is too. So they like punching and poking and stuff like this. But you know what? It's really not a fair fight. But the dad always pretend, oh, 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 oh. It's all pretend, isn't it? Well, that's the devil to me. The devil's nothing. I'm not afraid of him. I know you are. I know most of you are still afraid of the devil. Well, to that extent, you don't know the Lord. If you think the devil is something, you don't know that he's just a creature of God. He's just put there to keep you going. You know, if you go off the deep end, he'll be right there to grab you. He tempts you and then he accuses you. So if you want to fall for his temptations, do so. I mean, he's very good at what he does. But he's really not God. He doesn't have the last word on anything. As a matter of fact, he's never kept his word on anything. Never done one thing. You might think the devil's very powerful. I don't think he's powerful at all. I don't think he has any authority or any power or any effect. I consider him a complete loser. So, boo. You know, so I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. But there's nothing under the bed. You know, Joe, have you ever thought that? There's something under the bed? You never thought that? I did when I was a kid. I used to think there was stuff under the bed. Definitely in the closet. Especially when it was open. You know, they were going to come out and get me. And so, you know, I lived in terror. When I was a little kid, I was terrorized. I was terrorized. I was terrorized, you know, for a long, long time until I met Jesus. Do you understand? Fear. Fear grips the world. The world is moved by fear. They're nervous. They're scared. Even when they're cocky and drinking and having a good time, they're nervous. I don't believe them. So, I used to whistle in the dark, too. You know, I was just out of fear. Did you ever do that? Kind of whistle in the dark, like, you know, sometimes I'd go into my room. When I'd go into my room, boo! You know, I'd go like that to scare anybody that might be in there. Did you ever do that? I mean, that's when no one's around, but you don't want to embarrass yourself. That's how scared, you know, you can be when you're a little kid living all alone in the world, trying to make your way in the world. Everyone wants to survive. But when I met Jesus, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to, you know, carry a hammer to bed or something, or, you know, have, you know, things over the door in case anybody opens, it'll fall on them, stuff like that. Did you ever do that? You know, like that conspiracy movie with Mel Gibson and that other girl, and, you know, had that little bottle on the doorknob. Keep turning the doorknob, the bottle falls off. Somebody's there. Well, I used to do things like that because I had to protect myself from the bad world. But I don't do that anymore. You know why? Jesus stays up all night. The angels guard over me. I mean, they're a great guard. They're a great guard. I'm not saying I don't lock the doors. I'm just simply saying that's not my safety. Anybody can break down a door or get through a window or whatever. I don't care how many dogs you have and so on. And, you know, I don't care what system you come up with. It's not foolproof. You better have God. So, you know, having a God, I know the devil's not real because if he were, he would have killed me. I mean, he's real, but he's not really powerful. Doesn't have any authority. Anyway, Nicodemus came to him at night and said, we know that thou art a teacher, didaskalo. In the Greek language, didaskalo is someone who teaches, someone who instructs, but not like talk. It's more like discipling. I'm a teacher. I want to disciple people. I want to disciple you out of fear and into joy. I want to disciple you out of confusion and into clarity. I want to disciple you, you know, from weak-willed to strong-willed. I want to disciple you. I want to make you like Christ. I want to get you out of your natural image into the Christ-like image. Now, I couldn't do that if I myself weren't there. I can't talk about someone else. I can only do that if I myself have Christ in me. Otherwise, I can't do it. Even if I talk about Christ, it won't help. Many pastors talk about Christ, but there's no reality. You have to have the same joy. No one could ever accuse me and say, Pastor, I saw you sad the other day. Nobody's ever seen me sad. You have never, ever seen me sad. I saw you discouraged. No, you haven't. I saw you, you know, sinning, yes, but not sad. I was happy when I sinned. I mean, when I sin, but I sin happily. I don't have any, you know, I'm not good at sinning. When I sin, I just sin. I don't guard myself. I don't keep myself. I'm not a moral person. I have no morality in me. I have no morals. I'm completely without morals. You see, my works do not come forth from an ethical system or a moral system or a psychological strength. My morals come from the Holy Spirit living in me. That's it. So I don't get any credit. If I had morals, I'd get some credit. That's why Jesus said, no man will ever get to heaven by his works. I don't have a strong enough will to get me there. I don't have good enough morals to get me there. I don't do any works. None of my works are going to count anyway. You know what the Bible says? Your works must be wrought in God. That means you didn't do them. It's not willpower. Paul says, we don't preach will religion. We don't preach the religion of the human will, or the human mind, or the human emotions. We don't preach a psychological Jesus. That's what Alexis de Tocqueville thought. He thought that everything was subjective. He didn't believe in absolute truth. He thought it was nice if you could get it, but he didn't think he could get it because he was a subjectivist. He was a product of the French Revolution. Égalité, fraternité, liberté. Those are just silly words. They have nothing to do with what we talk about when we say liberty. So the French are crazy. They're crazy. The French are crazy people. Right? C'est la vie. C'est la guerre. They're just crazy people who just think, you know, that the world started with them. They made their own calendar. They even called a goddess of reason. Instead of God, they replaced it with reason. So the French are crazy. And they're still crazy. They're crazy to this day. Why? Because they believe themselves not in the fear of God. Now America's becoming French. America's following the Russian Revolution, which borrowed from the French Revolution, and the Russian Revolution. So we're following that ourselves now. Now we're crazy like the Germans and the Prussians and so on. We're crazy. Because we have forgotten the fear of God. So Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, Teacher, Rabbi, Discipler, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. We know that you're a discipler from God. We know that you have the words of God. We can see it by your works. Here's what he says. For no man can do these miracles. So in the words, it was the works that went with the words. If Jesus said something, something happened. There was an effect to his words. You've got authority then. You not only have power, you have authority to speak words with power following. And they said, we know you're a teacher. We know you've got something. Because we see the power of your words and the authority of heaven. We know who you are. Now, they didn't know anything. They were like de Tocqueville, looking at America through the eyes of a Frenchman, through the eyes of someone who is a French, you know, philosopher. And he thought he had figured it out. He felt, well, I'm not, now don't mistake me for Voltaire. Don't mistake me for, Talleyrand. You know, I'm a little critical of what happened among us. But I want to look at America and see if I can get out some good things here for the French. So he hoped that the Catholic Church in France would take up his ideas and develop a democracy, a Catholic democracy. That's what he was hoping for. In other words, get rid of the hierarchical papal kind of stuff and develop kind of a Catholic version of the Protestant version of America. But he knew America was Protestant. So he didn't say become like the Americans. And naturally, he's a Frenchman. He wouldn't want to say that America was the right thing. He just said it's on the right track, but it's not the best. I'll tell you, if we Catholics got a hold of this, we could really do it. Now, did he really fear God? No. Did he really believe in God? No. So he's just writing a bunch of hogwash. Because he thinks that the ultimate arbiter, the ultimate judge, the ultimate standard, the ultimate authority, is your own private judgment. That's what he thought. He didn't think it was nature. He didn't think it was biblical revelation. He thought that's what the Americans say. But in practice, they don't do it. They're hypocrites. Americans talk God, but they actually just fear him legalistically, and they just live for making money. That's what he thought. And how did he get that idea? How many know that when you come to America, what you see is Christian churches? Nobody's into just making money. Well, maybe they are. And that's what he discovered. He discovered that in America they taught God, but they actually wanted money. Isn't that funny? And that's why he wrote his book. He wrote his book to say, we got to be careful because the Americans are talking God, but actually they're worshiping money. So he wasn't interested in God at all. He didn't have any fear of God at all. He just could see that nobody else had ever produced a good nation. So he wondered, well, I wonder if the Puritans had come up with some kind of idea where God ought to rule. And so he's kind of mixed up in his head. I like to read Kant. I like to read Hegel. I like to read all the great thinkers. I like to read them. Half of them are crazy and the other half are nuts. But I like to read them. But I like John Locke. I like John Locke. But you know what? In the end, what is John Locke? Nothing. Now, that's who Jefferson and Madison followed. But in the end, they don't know anything because they know nothing with, you know, they know nothing for sure. Everything I know is for sure. Who says so? God. It's not my opinion. Well, that's just your private opinion. No, it isn't. It's a fact. I will die, and I will rise again. You don't know that. Well, I read it in the Bible. Wow. You don't know that book's from God. I do. Oh, that's just your private opinion. No, it's not. You see, so people are bothered by the fact that I'm actually thinking there's something absolute that I could know. You can't know God for sure. No, you're talking about psychologically. I'm not talking psychologically. I'm talking about this book right here. I didn't write this book. This is not me psychological. This book, I believe this. Oh, well, the Buddhists have their books, and the Hindus have their books, and the Muslims have their books, and the Jewish people have their books. Well, I know that. Their books are wrong. My book is right. Well, how do you know that? Well, I don't know that. That's your business to find out. I'm just telling you I know, and I'll die for mine. I don't know if you will or not, but I will. Do y'all understand? So, I'm taking a risk. I'm losing my life. He who loses his life will find it. Who finds his life will lose it. So, I'm not trying to keep my life. I'll let it go. I'll give it to Jesus. Jesus, take care of me. You know, I really believe that Jesus loves me. I'm not trying to make him love me. I'm not doing anything to make him love me. I just believe. And he doesn't love me because I believe. He loved me before I believed. That's why I believed. I believe because he loved me. He doesn't love me because I believed. He doesn't love me because, oh, Jim is going to believe, so I'm going to love him. No. He loved me before I believed. I didn't even believe in him. I didn't believe in him for my whole life till I believed in him. But he loved me before. Even before I was born. Even before the foundation of the world, he loved me. Right? And in Christ Jesus, he loveth all mankind. So I wasn't special. I mean, I feel like I'm special to him because I'm unique. There's nobody else just exactly like me. You know, I got freckles on my face. Not everybody has those. I got two ears. I don't know, does everybody have two ears? I got certain features about me but it isn't my physical appearance. It isn't my physical appearance. It's not even my psychological personality. It's the fact that my spirit is in him. That's what he's after, and he gave me that. I didn't even have one of those when I was born. I got that afterward. He said, Jim, I think you need a total new being. Well, what's wrong with my present being? I'm Irish. I have German blood, French blood. I've got English blood. I got a lot of blood in me. I'm bloody. No, that won't do it. Your background doesn't count. Oh. Huh. Well, what counts? Just getting on the rock. Okay, well, I'm going to get on the rock. Where's the rock? Who's the rock? Jesus. Okay, Jesus is my rock. That's it. I'm on that rock, Joe. I believe in that rock. I'm standing on a rock. I can't be moved. Can't be shaken. I don't know why. That blesses me. Do y'all have that? Y'all standing on a rock that can't be shaken? The world has storms and floods and winds and, you know, rains that beat and blow and so on. They don't bother me. I'm on a rock. I'm standing on my rock. I'm tied to the rock. I'm part of the rock. So, isn't bothering the rock any. Do you understand? You must be born again. That's what he's going to tell Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, I say to you, I, one individual, speak to you, another individual, except a man, you're a man, except a man be born again. Now, in the Greek language, that word is anothen. Except a man be born anothen. What does anothen mean? Does anybody know? Okay, ano means from, and then means above. Except a man be born from above. In other words, from heaven. It doesn't mean born again. Of course you're born again. In other words, that natural birth didn't work, so it's born again. But it doesn't say born again. What it says is born from above. Except a man have a heavenly birth. The first birth was natural. You were made by God. The second birth is spiritual. You were made out of God. That's the only reason you can live forever, is because God lives forever. If He lives forever and I'm part of Him, then I live forever. Simple. So that's why I'm tied on the rock. The rock is eternal. I'm eternal. Jesus is eternal. I'm eternal. Heaven's eternal. I'm eternal. God's eternal. I'm eternal. That's all. Did you see that? Now I believe that. I believe that I will never perish. You see me smiling, happy? Well, it's because I believe that. I could be on drugs. I could be, you know, making it up or whatever. But I've always believed that. I'm believing that. Ever since I started believing, I still believe. I haven't changed my mind because it's not a mind thing. I didn't believe by my mind. I didn't make a human decision. Billy Graham used to call his magazine Decision for Christ. I didn't make any decision for Christ. Christ made a decision for me and I believed it. I didn't make a decision, I just believed it. The fact that I made a decision was secondary. The belief was primary. So I don't unbelieve it just because I have a doubt. I have psychological doubts, I don't care about them. I don't pay any attention to my psychological nature. I'm not a psychologist. I hate and despise psychology. It's witchcraft. Did you all hear me? I hate and despise psychology. It's witchcraft. Why? Who would want to listen to that? That's no authority. So I feel something, so what? So I think something, so what? So I desire something, so what? Is that me? I don't think it is. God says it isn't, and I says it isn't. So, it isn't. So, the fact that I feel scared when the policeman pulls up doesn't mean I am scared. In Christ Jesus, there's no fear. So I'm not scared. I felt scared, but that doesn't mean I am scared. I felt like I didn't love my wife, you know, one day when she said something, but that doesn't mean I don't. Do you understand? Feelings don't mean anything to me. My feelings can come and go. They can change. So, what's a feeling? Don't you ever feel rageful towards somebody? It's just a feeling. It's not you. It's not truth. It can change. Let's say the policeman pulls me over. This actually happened. The policeman pulled me over for going 85 along 121. And pulled me over and said, "Do you realize you were going 85? "No, sir." I didn't. I don't pay attention. "No, sir, I didn't." He said, "Well, you were. And I'm going to have to write you up a ticket." "Well, sir, you're right. I did whatever you said I did because I wasn't looking. But I'm a pastor, and it's Easter Sunday, and I just got out of the Dallas church, and they kept me late, and I have to get to the Fort Worth church because everybody's waiting for me." "Oh, you're a pastor. Hey, let me go." "Hey, let me go." Pretty girls get the same thing, so don't think it's, you know. So, you know, it's just, you know, so he let me go. Isn't that great? That's nice. That was nice that he let me go. He said, "Now make sure you don't do that anymore." He was probably a Christian. I think he was. I don't think he would have done that if he weren't a Christian. I don't think the $5 made the difference. It really costs more than that now. How much do we have to give these days, Joe?
I'm not in.
You're not doing it anymore. So, you know, God is watching over me. I like being God's child. I'm naughty. I admit it. I don't ever hide my naughtiness from God. I figure He can see behind trees. I think He can see me inside out, upside down. He's above me, below me, behind me, within me. I mean, I just don't feel I can hide anything from God, so I might as well tell Him the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's one of the signs that you're a believer, is you can always be wrong. I am always wrong. Whatever I think, it's wrong. Whatever I think, feel, want, it's always wrong. So I always take everything to Jesus. "Jesus, what do you think of this thought? What do you feel about this feeling? What's your take on it?" You know, and He always corrects me. "Well, I don't think that at all." "Well, it's what I thought." "Well, I don't want to hear your opinion." "Oh, He doesn't even value my opinion. I just want to make a suggestion to you. He doesn't care. You see, Jesus is not interested in what I think about Peggy. Well, Jesus, you want to hear what I think? No. Here's what I think. Just do what I think. Oh, okay. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. So I take every thought captive. I don't think what I think. I think what God says to think. You're a lovely people. You know why? That's what God thinks. I don't have to think about that. You see how I just saved myself a whole bunch of thinking? Because I was trying to figure out, now which one in this group likes me? I would have to waste time figuring that out. But Jesus said, no, they all like you. They do? Hallelujah. That is great. They all love me? Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't worry about it. Just love them right back. Even if they don't love you, Jim, don't think about it. Okay. So just treat them all as though they were, you know, loving you. Because they can only bless you. Because I make even your enemies serve you. Huh? Wow. You see how I just saved myself a lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts, and a lot of desires. Let's say I wanted something, you know, a farm in the country. I used to want that a lot. I used to want to not be a pastor and just go out and raise, you know, animals and fruits and vegetables out in the country. Now, I really like that idea. And, you know, the only problem was you had to have money, and being a pastor, I didn't have any. And so that was the only problem. But other than that, I could dream about it. But, you know, I don't have that desire anymore. I don't care about that now. Now I care more about, you know, being right here in the city with the people, and if the bad guys win and they blow up our cities, I'm going to stay right here. I'm not running anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You all understand? I'll just be wherever the people are. Why? I don't care. I don't have any more dreams. I don't dream anything any longer. Are you hearing me? It's not that those things don't matter. It's just that he said, Jim, just seek first the kingdom. I'll give you everything else. So whatever I have, it's a gift from God. I'll take it. I'm not hurting. I'm not hurting. I'm just seeking first the kingdom, and he gives me everything else. And I'm not even seeking it. You see, I used to seek it. I wouldn't necessarily tell anybody I was seeking it, but that's what I was really doing, was seeking it. Secretly seeking it. I'd have my dreams. They weren't very realistic, but I had them. They were just making them up. I was just inventing them. I invented my personality. I felt like I was a good person. I just invented that idea. I felt like people would appreciate me if they got close to me and knew me. But I just invented that idea. Actually, the closer people got to get to know me, they didn't like me. So I was just inventing stuff. I always felt I was a decent person. But you see, here's God's opinion. Jim, I don't have an opinion on this. Here's the truth. I love you. Huh, that settles that. You love me? Uh-huh. You're the best. And if that's God's idea, I really don't care what other people think, what their opinion is, what they feel, what their emotions are, what they want, what their desires are. I really don't care. If God's for me, who can be against me? Isn't that a great way to live? That to me is above psychology. Forget psychology. What a waste of time. Most people waste their whole lives thinking, feeling, and wanting. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I just think whatever God thinks, and I don't even know what he thinks, but I got a book that says what he thinks. Whatever's in this book, that's the way it is. It's objective. It's outside of me. I don't have to waste any time ever thinking. I don't do any thinking. I just pray, God, what's the truth? That'll set me free. Other people are going, well, I don't know if I believe. I don't do that. I don't do any, well, I don't know if. I don't do any why. I don't ask those questions. I don't waste time. So Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, we know you're a teacher sent from God, because no one can do the things you do except to be from God. God's with you. There's no question about it. Let's make a deal. Aren't you one of the ones that's going to kill me? Oh, heaven forbid. But he was. That Sanhedrin would condemn him to death. And even though Nicodemus personally wasn't going to do it, what's one vote among 71 others, 70 other people? It's nothing. Jesus answered him. He said, here's the truth. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I tell you the truth, not an opinion. I say unto you, except a man be born anothen. What's that mean? From heaven, from above. except a man be born anothen, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See the kingdom of God? We can see the kingdom of man. Where's the kingdom of God? Where's the kingdom of God? It's right here in this room. I see it. I see the kingdom of God right here. This is the kingdom of God. Amen? Y'all see it? Not the building. The people. The people that are here. The kingdom of God. It's something you can see. Jesus said, unless a man is born anothen, he can't see the kingdom of God. But if he's born anothen, then he can. So I actually can see the kingdom of God. Now, it's hard to communicate with somebody who can't see it. Well, I'm seeing the kingdom of God. What? You what? The kingdom of God. Get along in the loony bin. See, because they don't understand what I'm talking about. You see the kingdom of God? You belong on the 11th floor of St. Joseph. You know, you don't see the kingdom of God. Yeah, I do. And I see Jesus sitting at the right hand. You know, I'm seeing stuff. You are. You go there. Put him on lithium or something. Put him on something. You know, fix it. The guy's going loony. But you see, that's the way it is among us. We're loony. The world calls us crazy. You understand? Because we claim that we've actually heard God, seen God, talked to God, listened to God, speak for God, act for God. Well, that's crazy. I actually believe Jesus Christ came into the world. I believe God didn't stay up in heaven. I believe he came downstairs and talked to us and walked among us. Then we killed him and he forgave us. And then he jumped up again. And I believe he went back to heaven to send the Holy Spirit who's now living inside of me. So now I'm spiritually born anothen. You see that? Do you all understand how crazy you are to this world? But actually, it's the world that's crazy, and you're the one that's sane. That's your opinion. It's not my opinion. That's what I believe. And belief is not subject to psychological analysis. The court of psychology cannot determine the truth of religion. The court of psychology cannot determine the truth of religion. So it doesn't matter what Nicodemus thinks. So Nicodemus said this. Watch this response of Nicodemus, a religious ruler who knows nothing. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? That is a psychological, obvious statement. Well, yeah, you say born anothen. How can a man be born when he's old? I'm already old. I already had my birth. No, that was natural birth. This is anothen birth. A second birth. Oh, I don't get it. You don't get it. You're a teacher. You're a ruler. You're a spiritual ruler from the house of Israel. And you don't get it. You're blind. So Nicodemus was blinded by his own brilliance, by his own religious knowledge, by his own civil power. The world today is still there. You all understand? You see, I'm training you. I'm a teacher. I'm teaching you, discipling you, training you. I'm not preaching. Preaching would be nothing. I'd just get you saved or something and you wouldn't even know what happened. I'm teaching you so that you can keep your faith. Otherwise, you'll lose it. People that have a faith can lose it. So I don't want you to lose your faith. I want you to keep your confidence until the day of the Lord. But don't think you don't have enemies out there. It's just they're going to attack you, but I want to make sure you're on a rock. Then they can't. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Great question. For a lawyer, Nicodemus is a lawyer, that's a great question. That's called reductio ad absurdum. He reduced Jesus to absurdity. I'm old. How could I get in my mother's belly and cut her belly open and get in again and get born? That's called reduction. That's like saying, Jesus, you're saying something absurd. Couldn't even be. There's no possibility. Any fool can see through that. See, he's calling Jesus a fool. Now, Jesus doesn't take the bit. He doesn't care. He doesn't respond to him. He doesn't react to him. You know why? Because the Father in heaven didn't react to him. Jesus knew what the man was just saying was silly, but the man was given his best shot. And that's as much as he knew. Watch what Jesus says to him. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I'll tell you the truth again, because you didn't hear me apparently. I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, this time he didn't say born from above. He said born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he's trying to help him out, but he didn't respond to his little trickery there, his lawyer trick of reductio ad absurdum. He didn't respond to that. Jesus knew what he was doing, but he didn't pay attention to that. I don't pay attention to what people say. I don't pay attention to what people say. When people say something, I don't pay attention. In other words, I don't take them seriously. I listen to heaven. I don't react to men. Did you hear what I just said? Get this into your own life. Never act based on men reacting to them. Always act based on heaven. What's heaven saying? I'll say it. What's heaven doing? I'll do it. Not, that person asked me a question, I have to answer them. No, you don't. You have to do what God says. You don't have to answer them. Remember Corrie ten Boom? She had the Jews hiding in her, hidden place. They were under the table. And the Nazis came in, and they said, "Was das Jews, Juden?" And all she had to do is point under the table, see? And that's what she did. She pointed under the table. They looked under the table, and they didn't say anything. But she gave them away. She told right where they were. "Sit under the table. Look at, over here. Come and see here." And so, she looked under the table, they saw a little rug there. It was over the trap door, and they didn't think about that. So God blinded their eyes. But she told, she was honest. She felt, if they're a Nazi, I have to answer them. Nazis have no authority. They're just killers. They're just criminals. They're just under some, no authority government. No authority to that government. After all, they had taken over Holland. They're not the rulers. But she feared for her life, so she answered them. "They're over here. Right there." And so they looked. They didn't say anything. "Nope, I didn't say anything. The woman, crazy. Crazy woman. There's no Jews under there." They couldn't find any Jews under the table. But the truth is, you don't have to answer a criminal. You don't have to answer. Of course, he can bop you over the head and brutalize you. But so what? Just do what God says. And God didn't want her to give away the Jews. So he didn't want her saying they're under the table. But she foolishly thought she was telling them what they wanted to know. She wasn't being tricky. But God was smarter than she was. So he blinded the German's eyes. "Don't see nothing. You are a stupid Dutch woman." And so the German was blinded by his own stupidity, but God did that to help Corrie out, like Corrie. Not too smart. So Corrie didn't know how to behave. She didn't know what to do. I'll tell you what, never react to people. Always act by the Holy Spirit. Did you all learn that? Did I teach you that? I'm teaching you something here. Never react. You always react. Stop it. You don't owe anybody anything. What you owe is God. Say what he says, do what he does. So Jesus is not reacting to Nicodemus. Like Jesus, he asked you a question. Why don't you answer him? But he is. But he's not asking the question of his mind. He's asking the question of his heart. So, if the Nazi came into my house and there were the Jews under the table, I could say something like this, "Hey, where are the Jews? Ah, they're in every man's heart. I hope you love the Jews too," so on. You can make some statement that speaks to the man's heart. Who knows? He might just being a Nazi in uniform, but maybe he's a hypocrite. Maybe he's really a Christian. Maybe he really loves Jewish people. You don't know. So why tell them what they don't need to know? React never. It's sin. It's always a sin to react. It's a sin. Say it. It's a sin. "I will never react again." Of course, you just lied. But anyway, the idea is start training yourself not to react to your husband, not to react to bad people, not to react to anybody. Just act. "God, what should I say? What should I do? What should I say? What should I do? What should I say? What should I do?" That's it. See how simple your life can be? You don't have anything to do with people. So Jesus answered him, And he said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. That's the two ways to be born, water and the Spirit. In natural birth, it's water and there's blood. Water and blood. This one is Spirit. This one is not flesh and blood. There's water and flesh. There's water and flesh and blood. But this one is not like that. This one's water, but it's baptismal water. But Nicodemus doesn't know that because he doesn't know anything. He's a ruler of the Jews and he knows nothing. He's a teacher of Israel, but he doesn't know anything to teach. That's the problem in our churches today. The pastors know nothing. So they're teaching nothing because they know nothing. You say, well, they're telling a lot of things. Yeah, but what they're telling may even be in the book. But that doesn't mean it's from heaven. I don't want to hear true things. 2 + 2 = 4. That's true. It doesn't help me. I want to know what God is saying right now. That's truth. Truth is a person. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. Truth is a person. What does the person of God say? That's truth. What's he say about me? That's truth. Am I losing everybody or are you still with me? Are you with me? Shake. Nod your head. Be a Baptist. Good. Okay. So I'm saying this for your good, not for my good. I don't need to say it. I already know it. I'm saying it for your good. Don't react to people. Speak the truth to people. That will set you free. Honesty will bind. Let's say someone comes and says, what do you think of this dress I'm wearing? Ew, looks, makes you look fat. That's honest, but it's not helpful. You see? It's not the truth. It's just honest. So some people feel there's a virtue in honesty. There's no virtue in honesty. Honesty doesn't help anything. Well, at least I was honest. Okay. I suppose that's better than dishonest, but it's still not truth. There's no cult in being honest. Well, I just want to be honest. And when people say that, I always just put my hand in my ears. Well, let me be honest with you. What have you been thus far? I just want to be honest with you. Well, what have you been? Dishonest? See, I don't really care about honesty or dishonesty. I don't care about circumcision or uncircumcision. I don't care about all that religion, all that nonsense, all that psychology. I just want to hear, what is heaven saying? I'm born from above. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, for most people, those are words. Those are not words for me. That's my life. Those are not words for me. That's my life. They might be words for other people. I'm discipling you so that you don't live foolishly. Get on the rock. Speak only the words of God. Don't tell me what you think. Well, I just want to say this. No, 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 don't say it. I just want to say. That's want. That's will. That's you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You have nothing to say. I want to hear what God has to say. You see, that's different than saying, I want to say this. Say, God wants to say this. Ah, that's powerful. What does God want to say? Do you all understand? Do you all understand? Does this make any sense to anybody? Raise your hand if it makes sense. Is, I don't want to hear what you think, what you feel, what you want. I want to hear what Jesus says. What he does. I just want to know what he's doing. What's he doing? What's he saying? What's he feeling? What's he thinking? What's heaven up to? Hear the word of the Lord. That's the way you talk with God. Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That's the way God talks. You have heard it said of old, but I say unto you. That's the way God talks. That's called teaching with authority. 99% of what's taught today is not with authority, has no authority. What's the Lord saying, Leslie Ann?
If you're not honest, what is the truth?
If you're what?
If you're not honest, what is the truth?
The truth is the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God, honesty is not the truth. Talk to God. Well, you could talk to God. You talk to God. Ask God what to say. Now, who cares what you think or who cares what they ask? Talk to God. Answer in the flesh. Answer in the flesh and know that you just poisoned that person. You didn't help them one bit. If you had been in prayer that morning, God would have showed you what they were going to ask and would have told you what to say. You have to be close to God. This is not a game or a trick or some kind of thing you learn, some formula that you learn. You got to be close to God. You shouldn't be in any public place that you don't can't talk to God, answer from God. And if you do, it was just in the flesh. It was worthless. You just poisoned that person. You just hurt that person. You damaged that person. And you better go and confess that. God, I wished I'd been prepared. I'm sorry? Because you're honest rather than truthful. It isn't truth that makes people mad. It's honesty. Who cares what you think? It's what truth. What does God say right now? Whether people like it or not. People aren't going to like truth. We don't care if they like it. We're saying it for their good, not for ours. We're not saying that they'll like us. We're going to say what's true because they need that. It isn't what they want. It's what they need. Jesus didn't tell us what we want. If he'd have said what we want, he'd have said, I'm going to make you all rich. Wow, good news. See, because that's what we want. I want to be rich. But that's not what we need. You need to be born again. I want to be smart. No, what you need is to be born again. What you need is to be filled with the Spirit. What you want, you don't want anything that God has for you. You don't want what He has for you. You want flesh. Why? Because you're born of the flesh. You're born below, so you want below. You think below. You are below. Everything is below. Now you're born again. Anothen from heaven. Now I want to think what he thinks, say what he says, do what he does, feel what he feels. Here's what God feels. Rejoice in the Lord always. When do I get to feel sorry? When do I get to feel angry? No, Jim, I don't want you to feel sorry and angry. I want you to feel rejoicing all the time. You see, that's my flesh not wanting to adjust to heaven. I hate heaven's rule. But heaven is right and flesh is wrong. Hell comes from living in the flesh. I'll just die. But if I live by heaven, I'll live. Not only will I live in the future, I'll live right now. You see, right now God wants you to have heaven. Are you in heaven now? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Ye are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Not you will be, you are. Present, active, indicative. That means something that's taking place right now in reality. Something that's tomorrow may or may not be real. Unless it's in the absolute perfect. So I don't want to live in the subjunctive. If only such and such. If only the bad people weren't ruling today. If only Pastor Jim were the governor. If Monty were our senator. Yeah, but you don't get your ifs. If only, you know, you can be happy today. You can be happy today. You know why? Because God's on the throne. What do I care what earth is doing? I don't care what earth is doing. I don't care what earth is doing. God doesn't seem to be worried. He seems to win every time. I don't think he's nervous. Do you think God's up there chewing his fingernails? I hope it comes out my way. Do you think God is worried? Oh my gosh, my church is sinning. Oh yeah. You know, maybe I won't get anything done. No. God is not really worried. He already knows the outcome. We win. He wins. The devil loses. Read the last book. The devil always loses. He will never, ever win in your life. You know, you wouldn't be wrong if you started rejoicing today. You wouldn't be wrong. Like, well, I'm going to, if just this would happen, then I would rejoice. Okay, if only this would happen, then I'd rejoice. If my husband would get run over with a Mack truck, I would rejoice. No. You don't need your husband to get run over with a Mack truck. You don't need anything to change. You don't need $1 million to come in. I was with a family last night that's, you know, in debt. And, you know, it would help if they had some money. But that's not what they need. They just need Jesus. So I didn't tell them how to make money. I told them that Jesus loves them. And they went away happy. They went away confident, built up. You think, well, how did that help them? Well, I don't know. You're not them. It helped them. I told them the truth. I already knew before I went there what I was going to say and do. I didn't go there and have a plan. That is, God already knew, and I just opened my mouth and said what God said. So whatever it is you're going to ask, I already have the answer. The answer is yes. And so, a few minutes later, it's all over. I mean, it was over in the first 3 seconds. I already knew everything. over. That's it. Here's the answer. Bang, 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 bang. And they just stood there stunned. Like, oh, wow. Wow. Have any other problems? You know, trying to think of something. Because they came concerned. They came troubled, weighted down, you know, unable to move, didn't know which way to go, what to do. But when they left, free, happy, confident, standing on a rock, no fear. That's good. That's better than going home depressed. Well, I don't know, the minister said something, but I don't know if we'll do it or not. Didn't go home. Okay, went. I liked what he said. We all left happy, confident, excited. Do you understand? Do y'all understand? Life is just one joy after another, isn't it? You're not all nodding. Life is just one joy after another, isn't it? I didn't ask what you think. I didn't ask what you feel. I don't want to have your honest answer. I want the truth. Okay, I'll give you a scripture. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So isn't everything okay? All things work together for the good. How could I be miserable over that? If all things work together for the good, including bad things. So I know bad things happen, but I just don't dwell on them. Here's another scripture. Think on things that are holy, that are pure, that are right, that are just, that are true, that are excellent. It doesn't say think on negative things. You don't dwell on things that are negative. I know they're there. I can see them. I just don't count them as, you know, we're grasshoppers and they're giants. I count them as they're bread for the children. Do you see the difference? Two different ways of looking at the same event. The one is to look at the giants and call yourself a grasshopper. That's not a very good report. The other way is to say, hey, there were giants in the land. We can be eating them for years. Our kids will have no problem. They built big houses with big doorways and big windows. Hey, that'll be great. They were big and strong, and they built big houses, big beds, you know, and we can eat all their porridge. That's great. That's great. That's the way the two people looked at it that God approved of. Oh, I like the way Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. Oh, the land was beautiful. It's full of, I mean, the grapes were this big, and the, you know, and they just came back with a great report. Shouldn't you always have a great report? Good news. The whole New Testament's called good news. Everything about God is good news. I tell you, ever since I met God, I've been happy. Before God, I was fearful. I was anxious. I was worried. I was thrown back on my own resources, my thoughts, my feelings, my desires, my. But when I met Jesus, forget me. Jesus already included me in His will. He put me in His inheritance thing. Phew! Well, what did I get? Everything. Everything. Whoa, I don't even know what everything is. I don't even know how big it is. Is it bigger than Rockefeller's estate? You know, he's got a 2,500-acre estate up in New York. Is it bigger than that? With a 9-hole golf course and ponds and lakes and, you know, everything. Church, he owns everything. Family all around him. Bigger than that? Yep. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. Wow. Cool. I like my God. I happen to believe that God is good. Bible says He is. I believe the Bible. That's the difference between me and everybody else. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't. This is not a religion for me. This is not some kind of thing that I just go through the motions. This I needed. I was a wicked, shallow, nasty, bad person until I met Jesus. And when I saw what He had for me, it's like He wasn't mad at me. He wasn't going to try to hurt me. He wanted just to redeem me. He wanted me to be born again. Jim, what you need is born again. Born anothen. Wow, how do you get one of those? If He'd have said, well, you have to be good, I'd have been out. But He said, you have to be evil. Well, that's me. I'm evil. And you have to have no good thoughts in you. That's me. And you have to not want to improve. I don't. You have to have no desire to please me. I don't. And I have to give you everything, and then you thank me. Okay, I'll take it. You're giving me everything? Yes, even more than you can imagine. More than you can even think. There's no possibility of even thinking as high as you could ever imagine happiness is. It's more than that. Wow. Whew. That sounds good. I don't know why I bought it, but I bought it. I thought about it for 7 years. I thought about that for 7 years. But after 7 years of, you know, doing my own thing, well, give me one more chance on my own thing here. So for 7 more years, I tried to get my own way, do my own thing, live without God. It didn't work. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. It didn't get better. Marriage wasn't helping. You know, kids weren't helping. Nothing was helping. I needed to be born anothen. That's what he said. And I didn't think so. I didn't think, well, I don't think I need that. I just need some money. I just need to, you know, get a wife that really worships me. I just need, you know, to have some friends that, blah, blah, blah. But God said, no, no, what you need is you need to just confess your sins and take my gift. Really? I don't think so. I don't want to be religious. I've looked at your people in church. They're miserable. They're unhappy. They're hypocrites and liars. Am I going to be one of those? Probably. But that's what you need. You need to be born anothen, not just a hypocrite churchgoer. You need to be in love with me. I don't want to. That sounds horrible. Being in love with you, when will I have me? When will I take care of me? I take care of you. You don't have to take care of you. I can take care of you better than you can take care of you. Really? Everything you wanted, I'll give you more. Everything you desire, you can have more. How much peace do you have? Well, not too much. I'll give you all peace. Wow. Okay. How much money do you have? Definitely not too much on that. I'll give you everything. Wow. Whoa. Well, what's not included? Everything's included. It's a package deal. I'll take it. Okay, that's it. I'll take it. Because my accounts are going down. Even while I'm winning, I'm already can see I'm losing. Even though I'm winning, I know I'm going to lose it. The more I'm getting, I'm anxious about it. I'm nervous. Has that ever happened to you? That you even got what you wanted, but then when you wanted what you got, you didn't really want what you got. And you realized there must be something more. Has that ever occurred to anybody else? Because I don't know how else you get in except that way. So, born again, to Nicodemus, this was not the hour. He didn't become born again in this moment. But Jesus planted a seed in him. And later, Nicodemus, that's how we know this story, by the way, Nicodemus became a believer. He had to plant the seed, and then years later, right now, I'm getting some of the first fruits of my preaching ministry 20, 30 years later. People are calling back now and say, remember when I was 7, I was in your church? You know, remember when I was a teenager in your church? Well, now, you know, I hated you at the time, but now it's I see it. That's powerful. It takes years. You have to be very patient. I never run out of patience. Never. Why? God never ran out of patience with me. I wasn't very cooperative, but he didn't push me away. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So what he's saying is, Nicodemus, you and your religion are flesh. Most religion today is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, the first issue of your life is be born again. Be born from above. Be born from heaven. Get your spiritual birth. Otherwise your spirit is dark, it's dead. Get your spiritual birth. That's the first thing in life. Do you have one of those? Everybody here got born again? You're born from above? You're putting all your hope in God? You're not putting any hope down here? You're not also trying to get this world too? Let go of this world. Let go of yourself. Let go of your happiness. Let go of your dreams. Let go of everything. You're wrong. You don't know anything. Let go. Surrender. Surrender is like lifting your arms up above your head. It's a great way to worship, too. It's the same as surrender. God, I surrender all. You know, you just surrender everything to Jesus. I remember when I first started, saw people raising their hands, and I wanted to do mine, too, but I was kind of like this. I didn't want anyone to see me, first of all, because I was a Lutheran. And I didn't want anyone to see me doing it. So I kind of like, they said both hands, but I just, a little bit. Like this guy, I was embarrassed by that. We didn't do that in the Lutheran church. Nobody did that. So, you know, it was a weird group. I didn't know if that was in the Bible or what. But later, you know, my hands came out to about here. Pretty soon they were here so people could see them. I didn't want people to see me. I didn't want to lose my reputation. Great reputation that I had. But after a while, I just surrendered. Okay, I surrender. You know, when you're the German soldier and you got some Americans captured, you want them to raise their hands above their heads. Or the police, you know, surrender. You know, they don't want you to keep your hands in your pockets. You know, you might have a gun or something. So surrender. You got to go like that. That's God. So you want to be born again, you surrender everything to God. God, everything I have, everything I am, everything, I give it to you. You clean up my life. I've made a mess out of it. You fix it. Fix it all up. Well, that's exactly what God wants. That's what that couple did last night. They surrendered. They surrendered. They gave up their family, their children, their finances, their, you know, everything, their love for each other, everything. They just gave it all up. Turn it over to Jesus. Let Jesus run your life. I'll tell you what, that's the greatest thing that happened. How many here are born again? You know, it's wonderful. When you're born again, you're surrendered totally unto God. He runs your life. Now, will I be a good pastor then? Will other pastors like me? Oh, they may or may not. The ones that have surrendered will, but the ones that are not may not. Will I have a good retirement program? I don't know. Well, you know, you can't have Jesus plus. You just got to take Jesus and then take whatever you get. And he's slow, I'll tell you that. I know he's slow. I figured I was going to get some goodies right away, but he's been real slow about delivering. He has a time thing on a lot of things, Joe. He's sort of saying like this, Jim, you're not ready for this yet. If you were ready, I'd give it to you. Oh, you mean I'm not mature yet? How many know that? You know, it's your maturity that's holding back all the stuff. If the bride were ready, Jesus would come. As soon as the bride's ready, he comes. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it listeth, wherever it wants to. And you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. You know what's neat about a Christian life? You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. All you know is someone else is moving you. The wind just blows where it blows. See, the Holy Spirit now moves my spirit. I don't know where he's going to move me. I don't know what he's going to say to me. My psychology is no longer determining my life. My desires are no longer regulating me. My thoughts are no longer king. I must do whatever the Spirit saith. Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That's all you want to hear on Sunday morning or Tuesday morning or any day, is what's the Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit saying right now to the churches? So one thing I believe as a pastor, I don't know that everybody's born again. I want to make sure everybody's born again. That's why I'm preaching this, Joe. I'll make sure everybody's born again. Because if you don't have that, you don't go anywhere. But once you have that, that's just the beginning. Once you're born, that's not the end of your life. That's the beginning of your life. Being born, but you got to be born if you're still of this world, like Nicodemus was. He didn't understand it. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. He didn't understand that. You got to have water baptism and spirit baptism. In other words, you have to have the water which drowns you for salvation, meaning regeneration, and then you have the Holy Spirit leading your character and your conduct. In other words, you're not doing it anymore. I'm not willing anything. He's doing all the willing. I just blow where he wills. My will is subject to his will. I don't have a will. The only will I have is to do his will. Remember Jesus said that? I don't get to say, well, I don't want to love Peggy right now. I don't get to say that. Jesus, are we loving Peggy right now? Yes, we are. Oh. Well, couldn't I hit her? Couldn't I, you know, make fun of her? Can I give her what she's due? No, we're into loving right now. No, we were into loving last week. Seems like you're always loving Peggy. Yeah, well, we're into that permanently. We're kind of permanent on that. Man, when does she get punished for her evil ways? And we don't punish her. We bless her. We pay the price. We do. So heaven loves you. Isn't that neat? So I'm a servant of God. Yo, I have to love you whether you're lovable or not. I have to. I don't have a will of my own. I don't get to say, well, I don't want to. I don't like that church member. Do you realize there are certain church members that you just don't like? There are just some people that are just obnoxious. But I don't get to do what I want because I don't know anything. So God says, Jim, you don't even know anything. Bless that person. Oh, poo. I'd like to bless so-and-so. I like that person. No. Bless that person. Just have to do whatever Jesus says. So the wind bloweth where it will, and you don't know where it's coming from and where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Isn't that neat? When you're born of the Spirit, you don't control your life. I have no control over my marriage. I have no control over Peggy. I have no control over the congregation. I have no control. I'm out of control. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you like to live a life like that? You know who's out of control? Little kids. Little kids are completely out of control. They don't control anything. They don't control what they eat, what they wear, when they go to bed. They don't control anything. But they're happy all the time. Why? Because they're out of control. They're just out of control. You sit down, and they're just bouncing around. You know, they're out of control. Little kids are just little kids. Throw their food, you know. They don't care. They're out of control. Ah, what a great way to live. That's why they're happy. Because there's nothing controlling them. The Holy Spirit wants to control you so that you're not controlled by yourself. So you got to teach those children how to be controlled. When they grow up, you got to slap them on the hand. You do not do that. You know, and you've got to train them, teach them, not your will. Then you got to teach them that it's not your will over their will, but God's will over their will. I'm not teaching my children to be like me. I'm teaching them to be like God. You will not run your own life. So I have 4 children, 8 grandchildren, another one on the way. But you got to break every single one of them. The last one is still willful. Little Ben. Did you see little Ben? He's just 2 and he's almost 3. And he's just a husky little guy. His sister's 5, 3 years old, but she can't take him. I mean, she tries to smack him and stuff like that, but he's a tough little kid. And he you can see him. And he's happy as all get out, because he just pushes his way around. And he just thinks the whole world's for him. He's just a little kid. Ben, quiet down. He doesn't mind. Ben, you stop that right now. You have to really get fierce on him, because he's just a powerful little guy. He doesn't know that 2 parents bigger than he is mean anything. He doesn't know that. All right. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be? How can that be? What are you talking about?" And Jesus said, "Are you a master of Israel? Are you a teacher? Are you one of the leaders of Israel? Are you a big ruler? And you don't understand this? You don't know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know. You know nothing. You religious rulers know nothing. But we, who are born from above, know all things." Why? Because we know the Lord. The Lord is the one that directs everybody's paths. It doesn't matter if the devil wants to do something, he has to get God's permission. He can't just do what he wants to do. Rulers today think they're on their own. That's why it's a lawless government we have. They're not under the 10 Commandments. They're not under the Constitution. They're not under the people. They're not under anything. The judges make the laws. The executives make emergency orders all the time. They just do whatever they want, and they don't care about any rules or laws or words or anything. It's completely arbitrary, completely demonic, despotic. Don't you love that? I love that. That's the true America. There it is. It's coming right out. It's taken them a couple hundred years to get there, Joe, but they got there. Now they've got it all. They got it. They don't want to have an America. They want to have Mexico, America, and Canada all be one place. They don't have any. There's no America left. We don't run our own life anymore. Isn't that great? That's just what they don't ask us. They don't say, "Well, what do you all want to do?" They just build these roads without your permission. They just do everything. They're into corruption. They pay under the table. That's just the way it is. They go over and bully other nations. They can do whatever they want. No one can stop them. They're no different than Adolf Hitler. Did you hear what I just said? I'll say it again. They're no different than Adolf Hitler, because Adolf Hitler had no God above him. And they don't either. They don't fear God or man. They fear nothing. They do what they wish to do. Well, God says, no, they don't. God says, no, I'm in total charge. So, I'm under God. I don't care where they're going. I don't care what they're doing. They don't scare me or don't bother me. I'm not going to do what they say. I'll do what God says. I don't have 2 gods. I have 1 God. And I'll win, Joe. So, I don't really care. I don't even care if I win, because I know I win anyway. I can win through death or I can win through life. It doesn't make any difference. I don't have a stake in it. Truly, truly, I say to you, verse 11, we speak what we know, and we testify to that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. In other words, Jesus is saying, being born again, being born from above, I'm going to testify whatever I see the Father doing, and whatever I hear the Father saying, I'll say that. If I've told you earthly things, and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things, things from above? We don't even understand things of this world. Nicodemus, you're so earthy. You need to be born again. Verse 13. And no man has ascended to heaven. You can't get up there by man. By your religion, by your brains, by your brawn, by your good works. There's no way you can get up there. No man has ascended into heaven. But only he, and he's talking about himself, that came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus didn't say, I'm on earth. He said, I'm in heaven. How can he be on earth but in heaven? Well, we are. We're on earth, but we're in heaven. We're in Christ. I'm not in trouble. I'm not subject to man. I'm only subject to God. I only have one God. There can't be two gods, two masters. I can't serve God plus Caesar. I can only serve Caesar if God tells me to serve Caesar. And he does, and I do. I don't have to fight Caesar because that's God. But if he weren't under God, I wouldn't serve him. I'll only serve my husband to the extent he serves God. I'll only serve my pastor to the extent he serves God. I'll only serve anybody to the extent they serve God. I don't serve my husband because anything he says. No, he might say silly things. Sometimes my pastor says wrong things. I'm not going to serve my pastor in wrong things. I'll only serve him if he speaks from heaven. I will serve him to the extent. His title means nothing. His office means everything. Title is just a word. A title is not part of the substance. A title is just simply something non-essential, incidental. Even a title of a bill is not the bill. It's just a title. But the reality, now that is something I'm subject to, the office itself. The words, the institutions, the laws, the persons. That is what I'll obey, insofar as they're under God. Insofar as they're not, I won't. In fact, I'll disobey. I will not obey. I'll object. I only have one God. If I truly am a lover of God, then I'm willing to die, because I'm going to have to die, because some people might oppose God, and they'll have to oppose me. No, I'm in the way. So I may have to die, Joe. I'm happy with that. I don't mind that. I don't care. I'm not scared. So, well, don't you have anything down here? No, I don't. I have everything up there. I got more up there than anybody's got down here. Down here is going to burn up. Well, wouldn't you like to stay and be with the people? No. They're not that friendly. A lot of them are in the flesh. So, I don't have anything down here unless God wants me to be down here. In that case, I'll be down here. And I am down here, and I'm going to stay down here until he tells me to come home. But I don't have any stake. This is not my home. This is not where I'm going to end up. This is just a pilgrimage. This is just a temporary. I'm just on my way. Now, only a few more years. Joe, you're getting closer than I am. And you're right behind Leslie. No, Leslie, you're going first or second? You're going second? Joe, you going first? You are? Praise God. All right. What are you saying? Son of Man has to be lifted up. Put on a stick. Put on a pole. There it is. This is the pole that they put Jesus on. I got that cross from Jesus. That's not just an ordinary cross. That's the real cross, Joe. Actually, it's just a tree in my backyard that I cut down. It's a nice tree, though. How many years have I had that? A long time. That's good. It's going to be worth something someday. And it never rots. I mean, that's an eternal tree, I think. It's good. Yeah, that's a great tree. I think it's a great tree. I put nails in it. Put all your sins on there. I want you to know that all your sins are gone. Nailed to the tree. They're nailed to the tree. Praise God. You can never again be killed. Remember, Moses hit the rock twice, but Jesus only dies once. That was his sin. The law cannot kill a man twice. You cannot hit a man twice. That's double jeopardy. The law can only act once. Then it must stop. So once Jesus died, that's the end of it. Now there's no more sin. Woohoo! All my sins are gone. Not just my past sins, my present sins, but even my future sins. Woohoo! I like that. Once for all. Forever. For all, forever. I like that. Don't you like that? I think my sins are up there. I'll see if I have any on here. Unbelief. Yeah, I've had that. Anger, lust, envy, pride, self-pity, fear, doubt, hatred, unforgiveness, jealousy, greed, bitterness, self-hatred. Yeah, put that twice. No, that's self-pity. Unhappiness, selfishness, defensive, critical, judgmental, rebellious, lazy, gluttonous. I'm getting tired. That lazy got me tired. So all those sins are gone. They're below, but they're not above. I don't have any of those anymore. None of those are me. Even if I still look like they are, they're not. I don't believe they are. Whosoever, 15, we're almost there to the last verse, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, not the church, not the good guys. He loved the world, the ungodly. That was me. Was that you? Say, that's me. That was me. You're ungodly. Say, I'm ungodly. Apart from Christ. Yeah, but in Christ you're godly. It's just a free gift. It just changed your whole being. But you agreed to it. He won't force this on you. It just, you agreed to it. I agreed to it. Jim, would you like me to make you born again? No, let me think about that. Because I didn't know if I wanted to. I didn't know if I wanted to. 7 years I thought about that. No, 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 no. And then one day I decided, you know what? What have I done with my life for the last 7 years and the last umpteen years? I haven't done anything with it. And I'm not going to do anything. I can just tell. I'm kind of... There's no hope. I'm not going to get anywhere. With all my brilliance, with all my positive nature and everything I got going for me, it's going downhill from now on. I think I'll get in on this deal while it's still, I got a little life in me. And I surrendered to him. And he said, okay, I'll take away all your sins. What a great day that was. What a day that was that I became born from above. Didn't have to work on my marriage, didn't have to work on the church, didn't have to do anything after that. I could just rest. Jesus, you fix everything. You're the one that died for me. Now you send me the Holy Spirit. He's the one that, you know, convicts me on the inside and changes me on the outside. Okay, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Don't ask me to help. Don't ask me to help. Just do it, do it, do it, do it. And he's doing it. Have you noticed that it's slow? Have you noticed that I'm changing slowly? It's almost imperceptible. You can hardly tell I'm changing. Sometimes I look exactly like my old person. But I'm not. I don't believe it. I believe that when Jesus said it, he meant it. It's not my opinion. That's what I believe he meant. Jim, that's no longer you. Okay. Well, then I reckon myself dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So I love my wife? Yes, I do. Okay. Well, there you have it. Do I love all the church? Yes, you do. Do I love people that hate me? Yes, I do. I do? Can I hate them? Nope. You love them. Oh, poo. Okay. If that's who I am, that's who I am. Born-again people are sure different than non-born-again people. Non-born-again people take revenge. I remember when Peggy, when I loved Peggy, I remember she wasn't thankful to me for loving her. She wanted to pay me back for the years of not loving her. I remember that. And then I had to forgive her for not forgiving me. I said, Peg, why don't you just forgive me and then we can just be happy? No, she said. I said, just because I was mean to you for all those years, you want to be mean to me now? Yes. Well, that doesn't seem right. We could have fun. Let's have fun. No. Well, how many years is that going to be? 20 to 25, I forget what it was, but whatever it was. Well, we'll be old. We'll be old before we get to that point. You know, wouldn't it be good if you short-circuited it? Give me a discount? Well, she did, Joe. You're right. After 15 years of vengeance. But you know what? I enjoyed it. I really did. She can tell you. I enjoyed it. I didn't stop loving her. I didn't care. I deserved it. But I was a new I, and she didn't know the new I yet. So she was checking out to see if I was really a new I. It took her 15 years to find that out. You know, but then she said, okay, you know, I think there is a God. You know, I think He is working through you. And I don't believe you're going to do anything or whatever. That's great. That's a miracle, isn't it? See, the old man is not like the new man. The new man is not like the old man. For God so loved the world. That word, loved, is agape. Say it, agape. It doesn't matter how you say it. It's just, it's a word. But that's different than phileo or eros. Those are also the word love in English. But English doesn't have three words for love. It only has one word. So English is not a good language to find out what God's talking about. For God so loved the world, what it means is He loved the world without any condition. In other words, He didn't love the world because He got something for it. He didn't love the world because it loved Him back. He just loved the world just because He was love. That was His nature. So He just loved the world with no condition. It's like a parent that loves a child even though the child has done wrong. Has anybody here experienced that? Where your child has done wrong, but you didn't stop loving them simply because they didn't deserve it, and they deserved a spanking or a whipping or, you know, something awful, but you couldn't do it because you were the parent.
I'm still doing
it. You're still doing it, of course. But you must do that. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. Yes, they deserve a spanking. Yes, they deserve something, but you can't do it because you're the parent or a friend. We should love one another that way. Right? It doesn't matter that you deserve it. It's a matter that that's the way God does it. So that's what agape love is. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, when you love somebody, you give. When you love somebody, you give. You either give yourself or you give stuff. But if you come close to them, that's a real sign of love. That's why Kirsten is visiting us right now with her two children and her husband. Because they're giving not just a letter or a phone call, but they're coming close to us so we can see them and talk to them. And then Margaret comes over, and then David and Mary come over. And we're all a family because looking at each other and talking to each other face to face is better than a letter. It's better than a phone call. So that's why God came to earth. He didn't just say, I love you. I love you, girls. You know, He didn't just send a letter, make a phone call down. Hello, can you hear me? You know, He actually came down and showed Himself, and then we hated Him, and to prove that it was agape love, He didn't hate us back. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Ah, that's agape love. It isn't based on the person's deservingness. It's based upon their not deserving. And you love people that don't deserve it. That's a Christian. You can tell if you're a Christian because you love people that don't deserve it. That's how you can tell. You don't love people that deserve it. Like, well, I don't want to forgive you because you don't deserve it. No. You misunderstand forgiveness. Forgiveness is agape. It means you love people that do not deserve it, that actually deserve hell. They deserve punishment, being cut off, spanked. You know, they don't deserve your attention. They're not worthy. You love them because they're not worthy, because they're no good, because they don't deserve it. That's God. That's why you're born again. You don't have that by nature. Nobody in this room has that by nature. You have to get that. Second birth. Born from above. Listen to this thing. We'll close with this. For God so loved the world, not the church, for God so loved the world that didn't deserve Him, that He gave His only begotten Son. He only has one Son. The only begotten. There's only one Son. He gave the one thing that was valuable to Him. In fact, God doesn't have anything else but His Son. So He gave that one thing He had. Here. Here's my Son. And with Him you get the Holy Spirit too, whoever He is. So you get Him too. Wow. With the Son you get the Spirit of the Father that flows between the Father and the Son. You get it all, so you get the Father too. You not only get the Son, you get the Father along with the Son. With the Spirit. So that you have the same Spirit. There's one Spirit. We're all in the same Spirit. The Father, the Son, you, me, all of us. Wow. In the same Spirit. Do y'all see that? Different kind of birth. That's why you will never die. Because you're tied in now to everyone else. You're tied in, not to the wicked. They're not tied in because they aren't born again yet. But if they see our fellowship and the power because of what we do, not because of what we say. It's not our mouth that's converting the wicked. It's our do. When they see our love one for another, they want that. They want that. How do you guys, how do you love one another? She didn't deserve that. Well, we love her. In the church, we love the unlovely. We love the unlovely. Okay, I'm almost done. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth in him. If you will believe that there's your righteousness, not you. You don't have any. That there's your righteousness. Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is new birth. I pray today that you'll take this new birth. If you don't have it, get it. If you do have it, rejoice. Okay. Okay. Okay.
I've been meditating all of the whole time I've been sitting here.
Right.
We're all Christians. We all know the word.
Yes.
And I have all the refrigerator. Don't say anything to anybody unless it's encouraging to them.
Good. So you answered your own question. Yeah. So it isn't honesty, it's truth.
Yes.
Truth is higher than honesty. It's good.
Smart.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Sometimes we honestly feel what the truth says. But that isn't going to last. You may honestly sometimes actually feel love towards somebody, but it isn't going to last. So honesty is not going to set people free. Only truth, which endures forever. Because it's Christ in you. It's not you. It's Christ's love in you. Peggy doesn't love me. I don't love her. But Christ in her loves me. Or Christ through her loves me. Either way, it doesn't matter. But Christ in me loves her, or Christ through me loves her. Do you see? So it doesn't matter even if the wicked hate me, they love me anyway. Even the wicked who are trying to hate me. You remember Caiaphas tried to kill Jesus? He still loved him. Because God loved through Caiaphas. Even though Caiaphas was trying to kill Jesus, it didn't hurt Jesus. Even though Joseph's brothers wanted to hurt Joseph, it didn't hurt him. He said, oh, well, you intended for evil? Oh, God turned that to good. You tried to kill me, but that was actually good. That turned out really good. I became the Pharaoh that way. I was Pharaoh's right-hand man. You know, everything that the world does to hurt actually helps. When they persecute us, they're helping us. All right, God is good. For God so loved the world. He doesn't love the good people. Didn't come for the righteous. Came for the wicked people to give them another birth. It's just a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You just get it because you don't deserve it. You have to not deserve it to get it. Okay, well, I don't deserve it. Okay, well, then you get it. Do you want it? Yeah. It's only for those that don't deserve it. Do you deserve it? Yes. Okay, then you can't have it. Do you deserve it? No. Okay, you can have it. He designed it for the undeserving, the failure, the sinner, the one who didn't do it right, who on earth didn't stay under heaven. Earth doesn't like to be under heaven. It likes to be just on earth, but then it'll perish. You don't even know what you're doing. You try to keep your life, you'll lose it. Surrender your life. Put it under God. Then you'll find it. That's why I'm involved in politics. I'm not involved in politics to criticize. I'm involved to give them hope. Otherwise, they'll all perish. They'll take me down with them. But it doesn't matter that I'm going. It matters that they're going. So I'm going to offer myself. Isn't that amazing? That's why I'm involved.
But you're not going down.
Going down? Going down with them?
You're not.
No, I never go down.
You just said you.
No, what I'm saying is that even if they try to take the whole place down, I'm not going to help them. I'm going to hinder them, but it's for their good. I'm not against them. I'm not against them. I'm just going to clip all their wings off. And they're not looking. Chop all their wings off. They're trying to fly. Can't fly. Right under my wings. And I'm going to stand there with the little scissors behind my back. I don't know. Because I have a naughty streak to me. But it's Jesus. See, remember when Joseph hid the cup in the bag? He had a little naughty streak. He's having fun with them. I'm like that. I have that little naughty streak. I don't think girls do that, but boys do that. Some girls are mean. Yeah, sometimes girls are mean. I sometimes watch Jane will go up and she'll grab his face and just go like that, you know. He doesn't like it. She just slap him like that. You little Benny boy, you know, and she just, you know, and he hates that. So girls are mean too. I think girls can be just as mean as boys. For God so loved the unlovely that he gave. That's why he gave. That's why Jesus came, to show that he loves you even though you messed up.
I believe this is the first time you have talked and ended up with John 3:16.
Yes, it is.
That's been my favorite verse all the time.
Yeah, I saved the best till the last.
Sure did.
Amen. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that we've been born anothen, from above. We're no longer born from this earth. We had two births. Now we only have one death. Those that have one birth get two deaths. Those that have two births get one. We will biologically die, but we will never spiritually die. Never. Because we've been born from above. And you offered that, water in the Spirit, baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, water baptism for regeneration, Holy Spirit baptism for life. I thank you, Lord God, that you've done it all. To God be the glory. To God be all the glory. You get all the glory because you did it all. We didn't do anything. We didn't contribute anything. You contributed everything. We're just agreeing to it. Thank you. That's all we can say. Thank you. Praise you. Praise you. We worship you. We adore you. Because no one could do more than you have done. No one could save us from this place. No one could put us on a rock. No one could keep us safe in the storm. You are our rock, our salvation. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and men looked upon the serpent, so they were made whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one that was lifted up on a cross. So whosoever believeth on you, gazeth upon you, looks upon you, has seen heaven and is saved, made whole, secured, put upon a rock, protected, happy, forever and ever and ever. Now let that new life which is toward us do its work in us and come out through us to others, that all the world may hear the good news and some may accept it and believe and be saved. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, amen. I love you all.